I wanted to find a way to say this in a way that makes sense, because I don't just like to say, oh, look at this lawmaker. And I'll get to what she said in a minute. She's crazy. That's not doesn't add anything, you know. Doesn't edify anyone. You may feel emotionally relieved at hearing the insanity of Democrat radical lawmakers, but I want to explain the why here, and the why is important. Trump has not followed the script the Democrats are used to. There is a psychological principle known as learned helplessness. If you ever look up Seligman, it's a staple of a lot of psychology programs. And when I was a graduate student, I always found it fascinating. And learned helplessness was the idea that, folks, this was an experiment in the more sicker days of psychological experiments. It happened. I'm not recommending this. I'm not saying any. Please don't send me emails about how awful it was. I know it was awful. I'm just telling you it happened, because I got a ton of emails last time as if somehow I was recommending we experiment on animals. I love animals. It's not what I'm saying. So please don't send me those emails. It's not what I'm saying. But back in the days before ethical rules of experimentation had, you know, been instituted in psychological experimentation, This guy Seligman, they did these studies on dogs and shock pads, where they would put them on a shock pad, which gave them an electric shock. Again, I'm not saying this is a good thing. I'm just telling you what happened. And this guy figured out that after a while, if you prevented them from getting away in a locked cage or whatever it was, they would eventually stop trying. And the principle became one, however sick the idea was to do that, the principle that was established through these various experiments was called learned helplessness. In other words, that animals, and we all are, although we are God's children, but still we have the ability to say, I think, therefore I am. That given enough punishment and the lack of alternatives and options out, Joe, people will learn to be helpless. They will just stop trying. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Like the animals in the experiment. If you don't give them an opportunity to escape, they eventually stop trying.
Right.
That principle is very real, however sick the experimentation was. People can learn to be helpless. Now, later on, they figured out through various other experimentation that if you gave the animal a way to get out and to figure out a way out, that eventually, even if they had learned to be helpless before, they would try later on and relearn how to be not helpless, which is not, I mean, I don't think that's particularly groundbreaking, but you get it. The point I'm trying to make is the GOP has learned to be helpless over the years. They have suffered under a relentless barrage of academic, media, far left liberal Democrat, cultural elites, and Hollywood entertainers calling them the most vicious, vile things known to man. Racists, misogynists, you've gone through all of it, the xenophobes, the transophobes, the homophobes, as we say on the show, the phobophobic, istophobes, anything with a phobe or an ist at the end, you've likely been called by people who have cultural power. They wield that cultural power. They make movies, they make music, they teach in academia, they run media outlets. They have the power to hurt you and hurt you bad. The power of Donald Trump is, whereas in the past, we have learned to be helpless, and you have seen Republicans the first time the R-bomb gets dropped on them. Say you say something, Joe, like, you know, listen, I really think we need to look at police policies in the inner city. Well, what does the media do? Media folks and others, not all of them, but a lot of people come out and say, oh, if they don't like the policy, Joe, that's clearly racist. They're racist. And there's no other way. And what happens? Everybody piles on, and Hollywood people pile on, and entertainers pile on, and academics show you fake studies that you're a racist. And it's not true. I mean, it's all completely, totally, 100% fabricated and meant to harm you, harm your reputation, harm you personally, and send the message to nobody else to get out that we need to fix policing in inner cities. No, that's totally racist. In the past, Republicans, under that withering pressure, had learned to back down, because it is. It's painful and it's hard to hear. No one wants to be called a racist. It's, you know, outside of being a child molester and a murderer, is there anything else to be worse to be called? I mean, it's disgusting. And the Democrats know that. And that's why a lot of these vicious liberals do it. That's the shock pad, Joe. It's the shock pad over and over. And when you see no way out because there's nobody there to protect you or provide cover, and nobody else wants to step up and say, hey, Joey Bag of Donuts isn't a racist. He was simply making a comment about policing in inner cities. They're afraid to speak up too. Why, Joe? Because they don't want to be branded a racist.
That's
too.
Right. That's right.
It's the shock pad. You learn to be helpless. What did Trump do? Trump came in and he is the first politician I've seen in my lifetime with this kind of a platform. I'm sure there have been guys at the local level and stuff, but I don't know them because I have their platforms weren't big enough and they haven't made it on the national stage. But Trump is the first guy in a long time to come in and say, there's a way off this shock pad. And the way out of this shock pad and out of this state, out of this is Twitter, is the bully pulpit, and is to take that fight right back to these dogs and call them the exact same names they call us. And the liberals hate it. Folks, they don't know what to do. The liberals, so not to get, make this again an overly economical one, I really enjoy, enjoying this show so far, but I hope it's not too like wonky or anything like that, especially in the economics and the finance stuff and then this. But I want to be clear. I want to add something to this. I don't just want to say, look at these maniacs, and I'll get to the cut. I haven't even gotten to that yet. Probably best at the end. I'm suggesting to you the Republican base and players in the activist movement have in a sense learned to be helpless over the years because nobody would back them up. They were afraid of saying anything, anything. I mean, you know, you mentioned programs like, say, affirmative action. You say, well, is this really helping? I mean, when you look at the numbers and you read the books by Thomas Sowell on what's happened to people who it's alleged to have helped and the actual data, it's clear there's been a significant downside to this within the minority community. Oh, my gosh, you can't say that. Oh my God, you can't, you're a racist. You can't say, well, I'm just discussing facts and data. You're not allowed to say that. Not allowed. I'm using air quotes. You're allowed to say whatever you want, but the cultural elite stopped you. Donald Trump has provided a way out because he doesn't have that red line, Joe. He says what he wants to say. He draws all the media fire to himself and he provides air cover for people to get off the shock pad. And they've learned now how not to be helpless anymore in this cultural political battle. On the Democrat side, this has forced the Democrats to show their butts and to show the American people who they really are. They're socialists. Well, not all, but most. They are big government, economic, in some cases, they revel in economic confiscation. They want your money. They want your kids' education. They want your health care. They want red tape hovering over your business. They want the power to tell you no. Remember the late Chuck Ecker from Howard County once said, the power of a bureaucrat is that there's no power in yes. They want to tell you no all the time. So you have to come to them to make a campaign donation to get to yes, right? Yeah, they want you to grovel.
Yeah.
The Democrats have understood this. They have beaten us down forever, and they've watched us be helpless in many cases before this Trump era started. But that has made them soft. Folks, they're soft. Do you understand the term snowflake originated? Because the Democrats didn't know what to do when finally people started to fight back and say what needed to be said. Like, hey, you know what? This immigration policy sucks. We don't need millions of illegal immigrants ignoring our immigrants. Oh, my gosh, that's xenophobic. No, it's not. It's rational. Don't tell me what's xenophobic. I've married an immigrant into the country. You're not going to tell me what's xenophobic and not you loons. The Democrats had so gotten used to us sitting on the shock pad and learning how to be helpless, Joe, that when we eventually fought back and he had this singular personification of the fight back beginning in Donald Trump, they were not prepared. It's like they walked out. You know what it reminds me of?
Hmm.
You ever see Braveheart?
Yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
It's so like cliched, but it's my favorite. It's every guy's favorite movie. But it's the only movie I ever saw in a movie theater twice. I loved it so much. It's like 72 hours long, too. And I loved it. The second time, matter of fact, it was even better. Freedom! Meanwhile, they're eviscerating a guy from the inside. I'm pretty sure he couldn't say that. Wes's intestines were being ripped out. But whatever. It was a good movie. But there's a portion at the end of the movie after that scene when Robert De Bruce is on the battlefield with the Scots and the British lord who's getting ready to accept the surrender of the Scots at the end, looks over at the other guy. He says, I hope you washed your today because it's about to be kissed by a king. And in other words, the British were expecting Robert the Bruce to come out and kiss their butts. He uses the term, you know what I'm saying? The other term for it's a family friendly show.
Donkey kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And what happens as they get ready to walk out to the battlefield for the surrender of the Scots charge the bat, charge, and they, and well, won their freedom. And, you know, in the movie, that's how the movie ends. For those of you, it's a great movie. You know, I'm sure most of you have seen it, so I don't think it's a spoiler. It's also 20 years old now.
Yeah.
But that scene always reminds me of what it's been like for the Democrats in the Trump era. They are so used to, I hope you washed your butt today, it's about to be kissed by the Republicans. And all of a sudden, you've got Donald Trump. Right, Joe?
Yeah, right through the invisible
fence. And the Democrats are like, shh, what do we do now? They don't know what to do. The archers weren't ready. The spearmen weren't ready. The cavalry is dispersed. They don't know what to do. And when they don't know what to do, they've reacted emotionally and not rationally. And this particular clip is a result of that.
People love you and you win. Woo! And when your son looks at you and says, Mama, look, you won. Bullies don't win. And no. I said, baby, they don't. Because we're going to go in there. We're going to impeach the motherfucker.
Now, that word she said at the end was not mother. It was something else. You can figure it out. Again, it's a family friendly show, but it's important we play that. That was Democratic Representative Rashida Tlaib or Tlaib. I'm sorry. I don't mean to say it. I think it's T-L-A-I-B. Out of Michigan, at a meeting outside of Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., with a far left radical group. Now, folks, this has followed a week of insane. Was it Brad Sherman introduced impeachment articles? Folks, this is not rational. This is not reasonable. This, make no mistake. I want you, I'm trying to leave you on a Friday with good news. And you're probably saying, how is this good news? No, no. Listen to me, please. This is good news. I'll bring this up on the five today later, too, if the chance comes up. This is very good news. Because the Democrats are unprepared and they're acting emotionally. You are watching the slow degradation of an American political party into a bunch of emotional hysterics. Listen, please, I know a lot of people get upset. I know they want to see a more action on especially things like Spygate and other stuff. And I'm totally with you. I'm with you 100%, period. But I want you to take some solace in the fact that you are watching a party that previously professed to be the party of the little guy decay into a party of Hollywood academic elites obsessed with political punishment and emotional outbursts on a national stage. This is all they've become. They don't stand for anything more. They have gone down this path before, folks. There have been numerous instances in the cyclical cycles, if you use the same word twice, of human history and human political history in the United States, where you've seen political parties move from one, you know, the ups and downs, the peaks and valleys, these natural political vicissitudes, right? We've seen this before. We saw it just recently in our lifetimes, many of us in 1984 political race, where the Democrats thought to combat Ronald Reagan, they'd run a far left guy by the name of Walter Mondale, who ran on a, at the time, radical platform of we're going to raise taxes. And what happened? They lost 49 out of 50 states. Reagan, the only state he lost was Minnesota, which was Mondale's home state, which he would have won, except for the fact that Reagan didn't want to go to Minnesota because he felt bad for Mondale. They've tried this before. The Democrats have tried this far lurch left into emotional liberal radicalism, big government, basically near psychotic behavior, this screaming, and we're going to impeach the mother. Mm. You are watching them decay into a cesspool of just chaos. Now, that's good news for us. It's good news on two fronts. Number one, it's going to expose them. It forces them to show their butts. Folks, this is who they really are. I'm not suggesting to you this isn't who the Democrats haven't always been. They have. I'm telling you they've just been better at hiding it in the past. What you will see, though, some more good news. I think you will see a more moderate brand of Democrat coming out of this just cesspool of anti-Trump insanity. Now, you may say, well, how's that good news, Dan? Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me, please. It is never. It isn't. The Democrats now, the radical far left wing of the Democrat Party, I kid you not, is an existential threat to the financial viability and long-term success of the republic. The things they want, Medicare for all, endless government debt, you know, free everything, will cause a financial apocalypse and the destruction of our republic. It does us no good to have a party like that in power. None. Who cares if we win elections if there's nothing left to win? If we can get back to a point where we can get second term Bill Clinton and the Democrat Leadership Committee, which came in after the Walter Mondale mess and tried to clean up the Democrat Party, and we could have two parties that at least, Joe, the Democrats and the Republicans agree on a common set of principles. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, Gingrich and Clinton enacted some of the most sane, rational government budgets we've seen in 50 years. You realize 1 year of the Clinton administration, we came within $18 billion of an actual balanced budget. We're $600-700 billion in debt now, every single year. If we could get back to two parties that have an overlapping set of spheres, Joe, and in that overlap, we agree the United States is exceptional. The defense of our country is our primary goal of our national government. The government matters, but the government can't matter everywhere. Courts, at the state system, maybe roads. Some states have like Maryland have a public education system written into their constitution. I wish we would leave it up to the free market to do that, but whatever. But if we could just get back to a common set of ideas, the debt is a problem. National defense is a priority. Borders are a big deal. Folks, this is a net good for the country. Please understand where I'm going with this. I don't mean to like take you down this windy path, and I'm not trying to, this is not one of those radio shows where we kill time. When we have nothing to say, believe me, we wrap it up. I'm trying to make the point that this Rashida Tlaib outburst, we're going to impeach the MF-er, the Maxine Waters type outburst, the Brad Sherman outbursts about impeachment, these are a good thing. They are showing their butts to the American people. It is going to force a gross reevaluation of the Democrat Party at some point in the future. And then after that, hopefully we can get back to the Clinton Gingrich era. Not where I don't want a Democrat president. It's not what I'm suggesting. I'm just suggesting that there was some agreement on basic principles of what the Republic stands for. Balanced budgets, border security, national security, other issues. Listen, we still can debate and we should debate. I think we're right on all of them, the conservatives and the libertarians. But if we lose the country right now to this radical group of left wingers, I'm telling you, the financial viability of the republic long term is finished. It's over. Okay. What else did I have? Quick. I'll do this lab. Maybe one more. I'll try to get two more. There's a great story in Breitbart today. I'd really like you to check out. Joe, how long have we been talking about blacklisting, financial blacklisting, how this is going to be the new wave of the future? Listen, when the Democrats can't win something politically, by the way, what do? They use the culture. They use the culture to demonize people. They use the culture, academics, Hollywood elitists, cultural elites, media institutions to demonize people. Well, the Democrats have been at war with free speech for a very long time, but they can't get anything done because even the liberals on the Supreme Court are generally, I'm emphasizing generally, been in defense of our right to free speech in the country. So what do? They've been using credit card companies to blacklist individuals and getting them basically kicked out of the financial market and blacklisted. There's a great, great piece at Breitbart today about how Jordan Peterson and Dave Rubin's efforts to create an alternative to Patreon, which is a company that allows you to support your favorite conservative and liberal content creators and other folks. They believe discriminating against conservatives. They had a thing with, what's the guy's name? Carl Benjamin. And it turned into a problem. I support what Peterson and Rubin are doing, by the way, 100%. But the piece is that it's not just Patreon, Joe, or YouTube or others. It's the credit card companies as well who are starting to say, well, you know, we're not going to allow credit card transactions for this, for A or for B or for C. And that's where the real problem is going to be, because you can have all the, you know, Patreon type accounts in the world or alternatives you want. Joe, if you can't pay by a credit card, you know, what are you going to do? We're going to go to a cash economy. How are you going to do that? You're going to mail it.
Right.
And this is the real problem. And Joe, how many times have we said we are going to have to create a conservative economic infrastructure from the ground up?
Over and over.
Over and over. Repeatedly. And folks, it's going to have to happen. It's not enough to just get an alternative to Patreon. We're going to need, you know, banks that don't discriminate. Credit card companies that don't discriminate. And as I've said again repeatedly, I'm not asking these credit card companies to say, we're a conservative credit card company or we're a conservative bank. No one's asking for that. Your model of business only has to be, we're not them. In other words, we're not conservative or liberal, but we are definitely 100% not going to discriminate our customers, our credit card companies, our financial transactions we work as intermediaries on based on any political content at all. If you don't commit any crimes, you are welcome here. And that is going to, the whole brand is going to be, we're not them. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Sounds kind of like what Fox News did in the Roger Ailes era, yeah. Right? Right. You know, when they first started on Fox News, and what they do now too, they say, hey, listen, fair and balanced. We're not the other guys. And it was beautiful. That's what they did. Fox hires liberals over there. They hire liberals. I brought it up on the Five the other day. They hire for spirited debates, but Fox's brand is, we're not the other guys. Well, you will get a fair and balanced approach here, unlike them. And they're the number one cable channel in the world because of it. One last story, because I wanted to tie this in, the negative interest rates, because it's blacklisting in the cash economy. You may say, well, Dan, the cash economy is going to be the only way forward. Folks, it would be nearly impossible to institute. But it is important I bring this up. Because with regard to what we were talking about before, about these paths forward and how we would find our way out of this debt apocalypse, I left one thing out, and I just want to leave you with this one note. If we were to risk a massive default, what you're seeing happen around the globe right now and what governments are getting savvy to is they're trying to lower interest rates artificially by printing a lot of money. So in other words, if you can't sell your debt at a certain interest rate because people don't want to buy it as a government, you just print money and buy it yourself and you drive down interest rates. It's a really like disturbing way of creating backdoor inflation. Well, one of the things we saw a couple of years ago, I wrote an article at Conservative Review. It's probably not up at the website anymore. Maybe the audience archivist, Judy, can find it somewhere. But I wrote an article about the basically four steps to government control of the economy. And I'm not going to go through all of them, but the idea of negative interest rates, in other words, driving interest rates so low that if you were to put money in the bank, Joe, you know, a positive interest rate, you put money in the bank at 5%. Mm-hmm. What do you do, Joe? You make money. You make 5%. Money. It's an APR. You make it per year, whatever it may be, however it's calculated. A negative interest rate, think about what that does. You would put money in the bank and you would lose money every single day the money was in the bank. And you may say, well, why would they do that? Well, folks, think about the beauty of negative interest rates. Again, what I told you before is if the value of money keeps going down and down and down and down and down and down and down every day it's in the bank, what else is going down and down and down and down and down? The value of government debt too. Governments love negative interest rates. Now, the problem with negative interest rates is a cash economy. Because think about it. If you take your cash out of the bank, Joe, and there's negative interest rates, the value of your cash money, the money you're held in cash, actually goes up if you keep it in a safe. Because everyone else's money's going down, right? Theirs is in the bank. Yours is in a safe. If Joe has $100,000 in assets and keeps it in the bank at a negative 5% interest rate, which is a lot, granted, everyone else is losing a ton of money every year. Not Joe. Joe's money's safe. Joe's richer for it, right? Now, they tried this in some Asian countries. And what happened, Joe? It led to a booming business for what? Safes. That's why I'm bringing this up. People took their money out of the bank.
Yeah.
The only reason I bring this up is because, and I want to tie this into the blacklisting piece. This is where the danger of having private companies control the financial system through credit cards, the use of credit cards, and governments making, incentivizing a cashless economy. This is where it gets so dangerous. Because folks, in the future, we may get to a point where economies are entirely cashless. And I've warned you, and I'll warn you again. It was the gist of my piece when I wrote it. This is the biggest danger out there. Because then you are going to have private companies controlling your financial viability. Because the minute they shut down your company, you or your ability to use your credit card, there will be no cash. It'll be a cashless economy, number one. And number two, if they were to install negative interest rates in the economy to drive down the value of their debt, you'll have nowhere to hide, folks, in a cashless economy. There'll be no cash to take out.
Right.
It's the worst form of taxation out there. Interesting, huh? Yeah, I thought that in terms of the blacklisting. I forgot to bring it up before, too, with the debt article. All right, folks, thanks again for tuning in. We had a really great week, considering it was a holiday week, too, with the new year. And I appreciate you all, again, tuning into The 5. It really helps a lot. Tune in today. I'll be there again, 5 o'clock, 5 p.m. Eastern time on The 5 for some more spicy debates. And please subscribe to our podcast. It is free to do so. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can follow on iHeart, on Spotify, SoundCloud, and elsewhere. It really helps us move up the charts. I appreciate everything. Thanks a lot, folks. I will see you all on Monday.
Good day, sir.
You just heard The Dan Bongino Show. You can also get Dan's podcasts on iTunes or SoundCloud and follow Dan on Twitter 24/7 at DBongino.